Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. I'm Laurie Davis, and you're listening to The Laurie Davis Show here on Blog Talk Radio. A wonderful day today. Call-in time, if you like. The number to call in is 515-602-9660. That's 515-602-9660. We're live, we're talk, and we're call-in. And we have a really special guest today. The title of our show today is, What Does It Take to Be a Coffee Giant? Well, if you want to find out, this is where you listen for the next hour. My guest today, Tyler Ornstein, is the first coffee giant to have introduced acid-free coffee. I can't wait to find out what that is, actually. I'm not a coffee connoisseur, but I'm thinking it might be the reason it bothered my tummy back in the day and I couldn't drink coffee or wouldn't drink it might have been that acid. I'm about to learn something new. So starting at the ripe age of 5 and throughout his teens, he pursued his dreams of bringing this to the masses. Today, his distribution channels include Walmart, Amazon, and over 1,000 retail outlets, just for starters. So join me as we chat and have a conversation with Tyler today to learn more about this young man and his journey of success. Welcome to the show, Tyler.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure. And coffee giant. I haven't heard that one before, but I'm actually really impressed by it. I like it. Sounds good. I think I'm going to
coin
it.
Well, thank you. Well, when I read your bio, I thought, well, this guy's a coffee giant. It's just not selling coffee out the window of my little car or anything like that. But there's a story.
Well,
and we know
I started there. Yeah. I started on a bicycle with a backpack and some silver packs and an idea.
I know. Yeah, I know. So
I remember,
can you share a little
fulfilling
more?
Orders? Sure. Yeah, I remember fulfilling orders in my bedroom for customers online.
Well, that's awesome.
I think we all start somewhere, right? We all start somewhere. We don't start in the multi-million-dollar warehouse / business, and no, it just doesn't work out that way. So you got to grow something from the bottom to the top.
Well, that is correct, and that's impressive for you as a young person to recognize that, because so many people think they should start at the top, and us old guys know that that's not the way it works. So would you take us back, though?
Well, when you start at the top, where do you go from there, right?
Down. You go down, man. There's only one way to go then.
Yeah, I agree.
So let's go back, though, to the five-year-old. Because that was a part of your bio back when you were 5 or 6. Can you tell us what happened there, an insight, or how did that all sort of start percolating for you? Pardon the pun. Percolating? Get it?
No, it's fine. So, yes, it's cute. I like that. So I started 5 years old drinking coffee with my father, and him and I kind of bonded over it. And then, you know, at 14, roughly, maybe 13, somewhere around there, came to me, kind of said, what's the second largest commodity item in the world? And at the time, I didn't understand what he meant, but I went and did research, and I found that it was coffee. And first is oil, but coffee is the second largest commodity item, or $1.6 trillion industry now, which is
wow.
Just insane to even talk about. But we're, I mean, anyone that says we're in a I'm in a trillion-dollar industry is in a big pond. So he created the acid-free coffee because he couldn't drink coffee anymore because it hurt his stomach, and found out that he had some ulcers. And so by not blooming the tannic lipid acids, we were able to yield a neutral pH. And by yielding neutral pH, we were able to help people that had stomach-related issues, and kind of grew it out from a quote-unquote need or a necessity. And that's really how big businesses get successful, is they take, you know, a mousetrap, or they take the the problem and they create a solution, but they create a better solution than what's out there in the marketplace.
Right. Well, we all know, those of us who are entrepreneurs, and we do an entrepreneurial show every Wednesday, that we found needs and we filled them. And that's what we do. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And, so, and I think by filling the need of the customer is more important than market share or profit or anything. And I know that sounds crazy because every single business owner will tell you profit is key. Profit keeps the lights on. Profit keeps the doors open. I, at a very young age, probably around 20, thought to myself, okay, so if I make more money, make more profit, is it sustainable? That's a real question in business, right?
Absolutely.
Is it a sustainable business? I'm not looking for the fidget spinner business that was a multi-million dollar industry for 3 to 6 months. Now it's, you know, you can't give them away. Fads do not make money, but sustainability makes money. It's like, okay, do I look at the profit? Do I look at the bottom line? Do I look at my customers? Do I look at if I gained more customers last year than I did this year?
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking in that way. And I have to tell you, you really do want to have more customers than you want to have more money. At one point, the graph will actually succeed in, by a long shot, your monetary gain. What I mean by that is it's sustainable. Sustainability is important when it comes to business, but it's also very important when it comes to money. If you are only making X amount of profit, but you're not gaining customer share, it's just a matter of time before you go out of business.
Well, of course, because without any customers, there is no business.
Right.
And you can't grow from there. I know
I'll lose
money
to acquire a customer.
Yes. Yes. Can you say that again, please?
I will lose money to acquire a customer.
Yes, me too. Some people don't understand that, you know.
Yeah, they don't understand life cycle either.
That's true. That's true. I'm always telling my colleagues, if you don't have any customers, you don't really have a business. You have a hobby. And we all know that hobbies cost money.
They do. And they don't give you good returns.
So talk to us a little bit about the bicycle and doing up orders in your bedroom, because that's not the situation right now. So let's talk about the situation right now. What's happening in your business right now? Because you obviously have a distribution system.
I bought a bigger bedroom.
You bought a bigger bedroom?
Yeah. It's a nice bedroom. It's about 20,000 square feet. But I don't
see.
Sleep in there.
No, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
wow,
we have 20,000 warehouse. But yeah, we have a distribution warehouse that does our fulfillment. And we've got office that does all our clerical, and we've got a media team, and you know, I'm not living underneath my parents' roof anymore. So things are really up and up.
Right. Right. So how does a person go about being able to get somebody like Amazon or Walmart to embrace our products? What was the process in that?
That's a great question. You know, so the way it works is Amazon goes off of UPCs, and when it's an approved Amazon product, then you can sell it. So you have to make sure that Amazon approves the UPC. Now, if you're making a new product and you're not reselling previous products like we did, we made a new product. We had to submit it to Amazon, and they researched it, and then they give you the feedback of they're going to accept it or not. And if they tell you they're not, then they give you the reasons why, and so on and so forth. So it's a process, and same as Walmart. But here's, it gets better. So when you build a customer base, you build a following. When you build a following, people talk about it. When people talk about it, bigger people look at you and they go, oh, well, I'm – because the last thing a business owner wants to do is take a risk. Risk-taking is if you told a business owner what's the most scariest thing in your business, they should, if they're intelligent and smart, should say it's risk. We do not want to take risk in the company. Risk costs a lot of money and it costs a lot of lives, meaning people. We have to fire people and so on and so forth. Uh-huh. And so when you take a risk, you're looking for a reward. Well, when you build enough following base on the product, you have a following, quote unquote, family that will show value, right? Mm-hmm. So Tyler's Coffees, if you go to the website right now and you type in Tyler's Coffees, you'll see thousands of reviews on Amazon. You'll see Google reviews. You'll see Facebook. You'll see social media. You might see some blog posts that I've done. This is social proof. You're building social proof. If you went and looked at Tyler's Coffee 16 years ago, you'd be like, I can't find it. Like, where is it? Because we didn't build that social proof. We didn't have that following. We didn't have that year-over-year success that built the product and the program and the brand and so on and so forth.
Uh-huh.
So if you want to get on Amazon, you want to get on Walmart, you can do that, and that's a good thing, and I applaud you to do it. What we do is we have other people that do all that heavy lifting, and we just, you know, charge them a wholesale price.
Right.
That's a better way to do it. Trust me. Let people work for you, not work for them.
Yes, for sure. And, of course, 16 years ago, we certainly did not have the technology platforms that we have today. I remember, I'm so old, I could be your grandma. And I remember when a fax machine was like, I thought I had just died and gone to heaven. Because now we could send stuff electronically. But with technology now, it has made things so much easier, so much more accessible. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, I would say that, especially right now in this environment of COVID, online business is at an all-time high. So if you have a product or service that you want to, and service is probably not the right word, product that you want to sell, online platforms is really something that you should do. I'm kind of that like opposite, like, the last thing I want to do is get into another product, because starting one product was horrible enough.
People look at
the sales volume and, you know, your successes with your assets, your cars, your houses, so on and so forth. I look at it as the more we sell, the more problems we're going to have, like, the coffee arrived broken, or I didn't get the right product. And again, these are things that we address, and we address professionally and, you know, correctly. But when when young startup people want to do a product, they don't see the customer service on the opposite side.
Right. Well, there were certainly, I know for myself, I created a product on my own. I took it to market, I sold it, I delivered it, all in the same thing.
Right.
And it's taken years and years. Years.
Sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
So what would you say was your greatest challenge, your greatest obstacle in getting your product to market?
Again, I have to go back to not enough social proof.
I'm sorry, not enough what?
Social proof. I mean, people like, if I told you, listen, you're going to love this product. I mean, I'm telling you, you're going to love this product. It is the best product. I mean, I have to tell you, so many benefits about this product. You think you already have a good product, but this product, it surpasses anything and everything that you ever dreamed of. Uh-huh, Tyler. Okay, sure. Good. Okay. Or you have your really good friend say the exact same words, your inclination of purchasing goes up to like 95%, almost 100%.
Wow. Well, we've known that too in our business. 99% of our clients have been referred to us by people who already benefited, right?
Right. Word of mouth advertising is the best, cheapest, and most effective.
Yes. Self-promotion is perceived as something totally different, so it's not a great mechanism to use. But like you said, when you have other people putting out the information, putting out their testimonials, this
and
is critical.
And the only way that you get that, and the good news is we have a online platforms galore in 2020 that can make or break a company very quickly. And I kind of respect that. The reason why is because it doesn't allow someone to smell snake oil. It doesn't allow someone to bamboozle someone, because what are they going to do? They're going to go straight to Yelp, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you know, the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And those are just some platforms. I mean, people are on some, you know, Reddit, Pinterest, this goes on and on, right?
Yeah.
And so you can get negative press as fast as you can get positive press, and it geared only towards the product or service that you're providing and if the customer's happy. So by producing a good cup of coffee that doesn't give you harmful side effects that people swear by, that we have an 85% retention rate on our customer, coffee sells itself.
Right.
We just produce it.
Right. So what makes that difference, just to get back to that for a few minutes, the acid-free, because I'm not a scientist, I'm not even a coffee drinker, but I was intrigued when I read your information. And by removing that acid, that's what really helps the stomach and all of that. Can you share a little more about that, how you decided that, or
so
how
I
you
don't,
go ahead.
Yeah, so I don't think we ever said remove. We never used the word remove.
Okay.
We do not bloom the tannic and lipid acids. So the tannic and lipid acids are in Tyler's coffees. The only difference is they're not bloomed. Blooming them is what causes the acidity level to drop. You would say go up, right? That doesn't make sense. Why would it drop? No. Alkalinity goes up. Acidity goes down.
Okay.
So
I understand.
Seven's pH neutral. And then you can go 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Zero is like super caustic, like hydrochloric acid.
Right.
You can also go basic to 9. So by producing a coffee that doesn't bloom the tannic lipid acids, we're able to build a neutral pH in the brewed coffee.
Oh, wow. So as a Canadian, because you and I have already had a discussion, I'll share with my listeners, I wasn't even talking like for 30 seconds, and Tyler picked up on the fact that I'm a Canadian, because I made the grave mistake of putting A at the end of my sentence. That was funny.
I like it too. I'm not knocking that. I think that's really
cool. No, I know.
Cool.
I know. I'm not a
Canadian. I love Canadians.
So in Canada, I guess I could go on Amazon and order your coffee, could I? Or is it in our Walmarts? I don't know. I've never checked.
You really could, eh? Let me tell you.
I really could, eh?
Canada.ca, eh?
Yes.
Yeah, so Amazon.ca does carry our brand.
Okay. Because my listeners are going to be bombarding me and saying, okay, so you had this guy on, but now where do we get the stuff? That's always the question.
You can order it through our website, It will ship out of Arizona. It has through customs. Go to Amazon.ca. Bypass all that. It's on Prime. You'll be happy.
Okay. Wow. Well, I know where there's a whole market of coffee drinkers. And they're pretty limited in their ability to get coffee because they're in northern isolated communities here in Canada. And this is probably an excellent market for you that I think, you know, I'm not sure if you've done any work around that, but we have many.
Well, and it's also cold up there right now. I mean, the good news is the colder it gets, the more money we make.
I bet. And especially,
although summertime used to be, we used to see a significant drop. Like, I'm not joking, like 50, 60% drop. Now we see about a 10 to 15% drop, which is good.
Wow. Well, up here in the summer, we drink iced coffee. And but it's such a beautiful thing. And there's so much around it. Let me ask you this, though. Because you are a coffee giant, you, like you said, you're in a big, big, big ocean here with a lot of other coffee giants. So how has that impacted some of your business decisions or how you decided to infiltrate the market? Like, how do you compete?
We don't. So why compete against something that you don't need to be competing against, right?
Uh-huh.
We're the world's first and only acid-free coffee. So we created a blue water territory where red water is. Tyler's Coffees will never be competing against Starbucks or Tim Hortons or Maxwell or Folgers or whatever. And actually, I was interviewed today, believe it or not, by one of the head people at Procter & Gamble that worked at Folgers. And he was telling me, you know, we focused on the smell of the coffee. And I kind of like jabbed him a little. I was like, yeah, because he couldn't sell the flavor.
Oh, wow.
Tyler's Coffees has no competition. That's what's so great about the brand.
Wow. And you don't concern yourself with having a coffee shop or coffee store?
No.
Do you?
No, we've kept low overhead. We sell to grocery stores in the States, or 50 mm-hmm. states. We're working on, I mean, right now we're working on three grocery stores. Those three grocery stores is north of 3,000 stores. So it's like, uh-huh. you know, that's a lot of volume.
Yes. Yes. So what is the price point and how does it compare? So if I was going to buy a can of standardized coffee, and I was going to buy, does yours come in a box, a can, a bag? How does it packaged?
Comes in a 12-ounce bag. And then we also have K-cups at 16-count K-cup boxes.
Okay.
It
so
says 12 on the website. Your listeners are going to be like, hey, he said 16. I did say 16. You'll receive 16. It says 12. We're going from 12 to 16. We haven't had the opportunity yet to switch our pictures yet, so that's why we haven't switched it. Because if we said 16 count and they saw a picture of the box and it says 12 count, you can understand the confusion on that.
Yes, of course. Yes.
So we're in the process. Next week or so we'll have the boxes,
right?
16 count boxes where we can start putting up the website and all that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, coffee's like anything else or any other branded item. If it's the brand we love and we like, we don't really concern ourselves too much with the cost. That's been my experience.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, if you're looking for a cheap coffee, Tyler's is not it.
Right.
If you're looking for the best coffee you've ever had in your whole entire life and you swear by it because it gives you your coffee back if you've had stomach issues or you just want a good, healthy cup of coffee or you're on an alkaline diet or you want organic, single-sourced you know, perfectly roasted coffee, Tyler's Coffees really does fill that niche.
Wow. That's amazing. So you see why I called you a coffee giant?
No one does. Like, no, I'm saying you did. You did call me a coffee giant. I'm saying no one has called me a coffee giant. No one. You're the first. And
except,
I respect that. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. And you can just always say, Lori Davis tagged me that, and she knows best.
Yep.
And so therefore it sticks.
Yep.
It sticks.
I will. When someone says Tyler the coffee giant, I'm like, Lori Davis, she coined it.
That's right. Yep. And you can use it. No problem. Yeah, I love doing that.
I sound a little bit pompous and a little bit egotistical if I call myself a giant, though. But
well, yes, but you didn't. I did. I did
exactly.
It for you.
Other people call me that. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I've been called worse.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. If you've been in business, you've been called everything except late for supper. So
right.
We're good. So your home base, let's talk a little bit about that. Your home base is Arizona.
Yep.
We have so many beautiful snowbirds here in Canada who have not been able to get to their homes in Arizona because you're straight south of us here in Alberta. So,
oh, because of COVID?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, we've been going there for years and years. So how has COVID impacted anything for you, like in your warehouse or general day-to-day operations? How have you fared there?
I don't know how to really answer that. COVID is not really a big issue in Arizona. I mean, it's a semi-big issue. We've had 600 deaths, and I think 3,000, no, not 3,000, it's way higher than that, like 30,000 cases.
Mm-hmm.
We've actually seen an increase in online sales, of course. Guess what? We sell to grocery stores. So probably the biggest market share right now. Now, my heart goes out to these small businesses, especially in California. It's disgusting. Draconian laws of, you know, to the point where they shut down restaurants because of COVID. The one that really gets me, that I really enjoy, like this one really like just tickles my fancy, is when you walk into a restaurant, you have to wear a mask. When you walk to your table, you have to wear a mask. As soon as you sit down, COVID can't catch you.
I see. That is the same here. Honestly.
Yeah, like, so the 15 feet, I can get COVID, but while I'm sitting there for hours on end in the same environment, no way can I get COVID.
Yeah. I know. It's crazy. I'm going to do a 2-hour special just on this whole thing because it's so... We are plagued with different rules and regulations, especially in our business environments. And I live in a very small rural community.
Right.
And we have 4 businesses up the street here. One, you have to wear a mask. One, you don't have to wear a mask. The next one you do, we don't really know because we've been inundated with so many rules.
So I tell people all the time about, you know, I talk to the left, I talk to the right. I'm a down-to-earth kind of guy, right? You know, logic dictates my life. You know, politics doesn't really dictate my life. Logic dictates my life.
Right.
So the particulate of COVID is 5 ppms, 5 parts per million. The N95 mask can block a particulate of 5 ppms. Should you wear an N95 mask all day? No. The reason why is because your pulse ox will drop because you cannot get enough oxygen saturation in your bloodstream.
Right.
People in the medical field will say, yeah, that's true-ish. You know, you can kind of go, you know, depending on how healthy you are. And that's true. You know, if you're really healthy, then you can kind of reduce your pulse ox and still function. But if you're overweight or asthmatic, you can't. So the other thing that I want to say, and quite frankly, this is, again, facts and logic. A passive society is a controlled society.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
A passive society is a controlled society. So if you start taking away people's rights because you're trying to create a passive society, you can control the society. And that's what's happening in California, and people are really getting sick and tired of it. I mean, really tired of it.
I know.
So Arizona, we won't stand for that. We do have a mask mandate because our mayor is an interesting person. But no one really upholds it per se. The other thing is that there has been so many fraudulent cases on COVID. And what I mean by that is the numbers that the CDC have come out with are really not true. Do your own due diligence. I mean, I could be getting railed for this and being like, oh, Tyler is a conspiracy theorist or whatever. I do my due diligence. So do your own due diligence and don't take my word for it on anything about this, because I'm not a medical professional. But I will tell you this, that the numbers have been compromised by creating a higher sensitivity to the COVID test, right?
Right.
So if you have a higher sensitivity to a positive, outcome to the test, the higher chance that someone could test positive for COVID and technically not have COVID.
Right.
That has happened. And people have tried to bring that to the forefront, and yet it has been completely put under the rug by big media giants. So I'm not a conspiracy theorist in any way of the situation or any stretch of the imagination. But I will tell you that if something smells fishy, it's probably not good to eat it. You know what I mean?
And absolutely.
This smells fishy. This does smell fishy.
Well, it's the big push for the vaccine. And this is something that I've never personally endured, other than as a kid, in my generation, we were vaccinated against smallpox. You couldn't go to school. That's the only vaccination
right.
I've ever had. I don't take the flu
right.
shot. I'm not on any
Me
medication.
Neither.
So
Me neither.
I'm 71. I'm not on any medication.
Wow. Congrats.
Do I really want to inject anything in my body? I'm going to be very cautious.
Yeah.
I don't want to mess
with
it.
As you should be. I'm not.
That's about my health.
Unless you're in the hospital and you are going to go on a ventilator and this is your last chance to try to get off a ventilator or try to, bring up your immune system. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
But, if you're perfectly healthy and they're like, yeah, we're going to shoot this shit into you and we don't know what it's actually going to do to you. But you tell us what happens. It's like, no. No, thank you. Not interested.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So for sure, let's segue back to your coffee, because the COVID, I asked the question, how is it impacting? And then, of course, we have our own ideas about things. But at the same time, alcoholism has gone up. I bet people are drinking more great coffee.
Oh, yeah. This is good.
Domestic violence, because we're like on a house arrest.
So yeah, domestic violence has gone up. Opiate overdose has gone up, or abuse has gone up. Opiate overdose has gone up. Alcohol uses have gone up. Alcohol. So actually, we've created more of a death rate per se than we would without COVID.
I know. I know. And I'm taking 3 to 6 suicide calls a week because I work in
Are
that
you really?
Area.
Wow.
And I have like parents calling me, finding notes in their kids' bedrooms, and our young people are really stressed. It's just crazy. So I'm with you, the aftermath of COVID and the damage of the in the aftermath, and the prolonged sickness, the risks. It's just nuts. Our alcohol sales here have gone up 40%.
No shit.
Yeah, we're not allowed to swear on the radio.
Sorry, my apologies.
That's okay. No worries. No, I'm serious.
Holy cow, 40%?
Yes.
That is insane. I mean, that's insane. A normal increase in an industry is, 3 to 6%.
That's right.
Wow.
40% where I'm at. I know. So now we're going to have lots of people who are going to need to go to treatment. And as people run out of money and they're not able to get what they need, then that feeds the crime. Break-in, et cetera.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you guys get your up in Canada? Did Trudeau actually finalize taking away all your guns?
Well, we have to register our guns, and if we don't...
No, we have to do that, too, and we have to do that, too, in America.
But the thing is a criminal going to register a gun and then go rob a bank?
No way.
No. So how does that work?
But you still get to buy guns, though, is what I'm
asking. Yes. Yes, there's
lots of
paperwork and everything, but...
Yeah.
And you have to be licensed to sell them and so on. But again,
go ahead.
No, but just here in this North country that we live in, many, many people have guns because they hunt and live off the land.
Sure.
And
sure.
It's their livelihood.
Yeah, I mean, Beto O'Rourke is crazy, but he said, hell yeah, sorry, excuse me. Heck yeah, we're going to take away your guns, and we're going to take away your ARs, and we're going to take away your Second Amendment. And, them fighting words. Let me tell you, America was founded off of removal of tyranny and freedom. So there's still 75 million people out there still that you're not taking away their guns.
No. Well, I believe that because we did go through an era where we weren't even allowed to defend our property. So if someone broke into your home and you shot them, they could charge you. But
my
province changed that not too long ago because we were having so many people threatening our safety, and I believe it was legislated that we could protect our properties. So, it's a tricky situation. We could talk for hours about all kinds of things. We're supposed to be talking about coffee, but how's this going? I think it's great. You got a young man.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I rather do this than formal interviews. This is my favorite platform. Call, talk. And if anybody wants to call in on anything we've just said, please feel free to do that. 515-602-9660. Because today you've got a young man and an old gal actually talking on the same page. How cool is that, Tyler?
I think it is great. And unfortunately, our youth has been indoctrinated into this weird mindset of complexity is the new freedom, which doesn't make sense to me. I can go on and on and on, but it's just to me, I'm not liberal in the new sense. I'm a liberal in the old sense, where essentially do whatever you want as long as it doesn't affect me. And now we're coming into more of a totalitarian world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary because history does repeat itself, and we know last time it repeated itself, we went into World War II, and it's very sad.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very sad.
Yeah, because there are, in the book, The Art of War, all you have to do is, one, you take over the communication system. That's step one. And step two, you start cutting off supplies. I mean, it's anybody who's done their history or read their history knows. My dad was a World War II veteran. And yeah, and came home and couldn't even talk about it. But the way that people were mobilized during that time overseas, it was just scary, scary. And, you know, we have fought and blood has been shed for our freedoms and rights, and you just hate to see those messed with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think Canada has received a really bad hand with Trudeau. I just really do not think Trudeau is good for Canada.
Yeah, there are many, many, many mixed feelings about our leadership. All over the world right now. Where are the leaders? Where are the people who can take us back, or not back, but even forward to something even better than we had? And in my generation, I'm 71, so I was a baby boomer born after the war. The 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, these were prosperous times. These were fun times. These were great times. It was a wonderful time to be alive. And right now, we have grandchildren in their teens. My grandson graduated from high school this year. He's been an honor student his whole school life, and there was absolutely nothing to celebrate that. No graduation, no convocation, no anything. And
I know.
That's like grim for those young people, right? All right. Well, in wrapping up, Tyler, is there anything else that you'd love to share? Because I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Go to Amazon.ca and get Tyler's coffees that way is the best way. Because, it's already past customs, so it's sitting in the warehouse. So, easier for you guys to get.
Right.
If you do want to give us a call and place an order, again, it's going to take longer because it's coming out of the United States, but that's your prerogative. 855. That's 855-554-3833. 855-554-3833. And we're there 24/7, and we'd love to help you guys.
And what's your website again, Tyler?
Tyler'sCoffees.com.
Okay, perfect. I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you're a busy guy, and thank you for your patience in us being able to put our chat together. What will happen is the show will be. It's being recorded. We're live, but it's being recorded. And it doesn't take very long, a few minutes, and it's up. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you a link, and you can put that link on your website or on the signature of your email or anywhere you want, and people can click on the link and go directly to the show.
We'll definitely do that for you.
Okay. Well, we're going to do that for you too, because people need to hear your new title, Tyler the Coffee Giant. And where that came from, so they'll never look at you and say.
I am writing a book right now.
Are you?
And I don't have the name for the book.
Oh, maybe we just found it.
Tyler the Coffee Giant.
You like that?
It kind of rings.
It does ring. I'm thinking of like Jack and the Beanstalk, like that kind of an image. It's just kind of like
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Tyler the Coffee Giant. Tyler's Coffee Giant. Because it's Tyler's Coffees is the brand. Gotta figure out how we're gonna play that in. But no, I like Tyler the Coffee Giant because it's like, who's this guy?
Okay.
Where did this guy? Where did this guy come from?
Well, I think the word giant
so
gets attention.
Much, I'm gonna write it down.
Tyler, all right.
The Coffee Giant.
I love it. And then perhaps I've done this for other authors. You might reach out to me and I'll write you an accolade for your book or some kind of testimonial or I do that for people invite me to do that sometimes. So if you use that, then you'll need to have me do an accolade for you.
Okay. Yeah, I can have you do a forward. Sure.
Well, not even the forward, just an accolade. It would be great. So what's your book about? Your story? Is it about your story?
It is. Yeah,
oh,
it's about my story, about, you know, trials and tribulations, about getting kind of thrown around, you know, getting told, sure, kid, whatever, or getting told, what is acid-free coffee, or getting told, you don't know what you're doing, or getting told... I mean, I've been told so many things in my life that if I just stopped and listened to people, and that's an interesting kind of finishing. You know, the reason why rich people have this negative connotation of, oh, he's an idiot, or he is a significant person because he only cares about himself. It's not that he only cares about he, she, and not trying to be masculine here, and I love women in business. Are you kidding? I think women in business is fantastic. We need more of them. It's not that when you become successful, you quote unquote get a chip on your shoulder because you feel that you're egotistical and you're above everyone. It's because in the last 10 years you were told you were a peon and you're worth nothing.
I know. I was told 29 years ago, I started a private training company. My background is education. So education is really, this is 50th year in education. And I had people tell me, you cannot make money helping people with their situations through education. They need to see a therapist. I said, oh. Seriously. Well, I'm not a therapist and I'm not a counselor and I don't want to be that. I'm an educator.
Yeah.
And I believe that a lot of people...
I love the word cannot. That word really makes me excited. I go, really? Yeah. Cannot, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bring it on, eh? Bring it on, eh, bud?
Hey, bud, yeah. Bring it on. I'm for you on that. Let me tell you. And that's the thing is you know, before COVID, I would go around the country and I would speak and be interviewed and so on and so forth about what I did and how I did it. And this one person came up to me that I knew and said, hey, through the grapevine, there's a couple people telling me that you're kind of someone that you shouldn't be, right?
Oh, I see.
And my response was, okay. We live in a society where politically correct is more important than getting it done. I live
exactly.
in a society where get it done at all costs.
Well,
know?
I've discovered it's easier to be forgiven than get permission.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And I'm not going to apologize for who I am or who I've become, because I'm the one that was willing to do the hard work. I was the one that was willing to work at nighttime when everybody else was sitting on the couch, eating chips, watching television.
Yeah, I mean, I remember being told this is. A year ago, being told that you can't be on the board of the HOA, people don't like you. And I said, I said, okay. So what I did is, you know, bought a new house.
Well, that speaks volumes, you see. That says, yeah.
Like,
okay.
I was like, all right, you guys want me to move? That's fine. I needed that motivation. Thank you so much. You know, I appreciate that. And I now have a much nicer house, and I don't have to deal with the HOA. And I let my my renter take care of it, deal with the HOA, because there's certain HOAs out there that think that they are the commandant, and they are Hitler.
Right. Okay. So. Well, Tyler, I just want to thank you so very much again, and we're getting ready to wrap up. So thank you very much. Please stay in touch, and I'll get that information out to you, and keep me apprised of your book.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, I just want to congratulate you for all that you've done and all that you've been through and all that you've been able to accomplish. That's because that's worthy of you. Those were big goals, and you made it happen. And so congratulations to you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You're welcome. Okay, Tyler, bye for now.
Bye.
I'm Laurie Davis. You've been listening to The Laurie Davis Show here on Blog Talk Radio today. And today, my fun guest, Tyler Ornstein, I'm calling him the coffee giant, and he took that quite nicely, I'm thinking. And so that might have a future right there. And tomorrow is Entrepreneurial Wednesday, so we'll be taking calls. If you're an entrepreneur, our title is What Does It Take to Be an Entrepreneur? Maybe Tyler would phone back in. He certainly has a handle on that, and looking at some ideas on how to grow our business, and looking forward to those calls. So thank you for listening, and bye for now.